Turn to Galatians chapter 6. I'm going to talk about giving. Let's see how we go. So Galatians chapter 6. Just to introduce it. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Now, I thought about this when I was writing it today. It says, God is not mocked. Now, I've observed people mocking other people. I mean, I haven't experienced it myself, so I've only observed. So, I mean, it says God is not mocked. So, people that sow to the flesh or they do evil, they can't go like that to the Lord. You may be able to see what I'm doing, but hey, it doesn't matter, God, because I don't care. And so that God is not mocked because God sees everything that's done. And then he goes further down and says, if you sow of the flesh, you'll reap corruption. And so those people that mock God as if they don't care that he's watching, he will not be mocked. And so therefore, they will sow as they reap. They will, as they sow to the flesh, they do evil, do their own thing, they'll reap corruption. Because even though they mock God to his face, God will not be mocked. And they give unto the flesh, they sacrifice unto the flesh, and they will reap corruption. In the same way as well, we sacrifice unto the Spirit, we give unto the Spirit, time, prayer, whatever it may be, and we'll reap everlasting life. And so what God sees of those that sow unto the flesh, he sees us also sowing unto the Spirit. If we faint not, we'll reap this great opportunity, it says, and to do good unto all men. So move over to Haggai chapter 1. I've recently brought this scripture out, but it highlights it very well, so I can't help but bring it out again. Before Zechariah, Haggai chapter 1, after Zephaniah. Haggai chapter 1. So this is, of course, in the time of Nehemiah, as they're building the temple and the walls of the city, and Haggai was a prophet at the time. Verse 4, his God speaking, is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses, and this house lie waste? So the Lord's crying unto the people. They've come to Jerusalem to build his house, to build the walls, but they've focused more on their own houses. And so in a way, they're sowing unto their own things, their own provision, and leaving the spiritual things to the side. Verse 5, now therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Ye have sown much and bring in little. Ye eat, but ye have not enough. Ye drink, but ye are not filled with drink. Ye clothe you, but there is none warm. And he that earneth wages to put it in a bag with holes. So it correlates back to the previous scripture. If you sow unto the flesh, you reap corruption. So saying here, you've sown much, but you bring in little. It's corrupted, what you bring back. You eat, but you don't have enough. What you sow comes back corrupted. Verse 7, thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways. Go up to the mountain and bring wood and build the house, and I'll take pleasure in it, and I'll be glorified, saith the Lord. So it says here, go up to the mountain to find wood and to build his house. So you start sowing unto the Spirit. And I like how it says, go to the mountain. Don't just go around the corner, traipse and work hard to get the wood that's required to build his house. There's effort involved to sow under the Spirit, but then the Lord will take pleasure in it and be glorified. Verse 9, you looked for much, and lo, it came to little. And when you brought it home, I did blow upon it. Why, saith the Lord of hosts, because mine house, that is waste, and you run every man unto his own house. Therefore the heaven over you is stayed from dew, and the earth is stayed from her fruit. And I called for a drought upon the land and upon the mountains, and upon the corn and upon the new wine and upon the oil and upon that which the ground bringeth forth, and upon men and upon cattle and upon all the labour of the land, hands. So the Lord, like they were going on about their own work as they thought they wanted to do in their own, in their flesh, and neglected the things of the Spirit. God still noticed it. So they may have been rummaging around and thought, oh, nah, it doesn't matter, we'll get to that later. We'll kind of mock the Lord. Like, it's all right, Lord, I'll do it in your time, in my time. And they reaped corruption. Just over to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 10. Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. So the Lord's saying here, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse and meat into his house. So do the work of the Lord first. That's what it is. Like, yeah, do the work of the Lord first, then will not the windows of heaven be opened and poured out a blessing. So there's a little bit of action on our part. The Lord's asking us to give and do things for him, and then he'll then heap the blessings on us. It says in Matthew 19:29, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children, lands for my name's sake, shall receive a hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. So same sort of thing. Like, we have to give things up for the Lord. We've all given something up when we came along and decided to follow him. We'll receive a hundredfold. So it started with us giving something to the Lord, and then the Lord just pours the blessings on. The windows of heaven being open. 1 Kings chapter 17. Great little story here. Inspiration for the magic pudding, I'm sure. 1 Kings chapter 17 and verse 10. So he, that's Elijah, arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman that was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not, go and do as thou hast said, but make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and for thy son. So here Elijah is a type of God, and he's still asking, even though the woman said, look, I've got nothing else, you know, but this has been a horrible drought, but he still says, give me a little bit first. And so the Lord asks us to make that little step forward, that little step, and he'll then provide the blessing. Verse 14, For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. And she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he and her house did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord which he spake by Elijah. So the Lord came through. The Lord came through. I mean, can you imagine this poor lady thinking, why would I do this? Why would I give the last morsel that I have? Obviously she had this great faith that the Lord will provide. And I suppose sometimes we might think, well, why? Why would we do this? But the Lord will provide and open the windows of heaven. But it starts with that little bit of giving. That's where it all starts. Anyway, Luke chapter 6. And it says in Acts 20, verse 35, it is more blessed to give than to receive. So that's actually Paul quoting Jesus' words. So the giving is an important part. And the Lord will be no debtor. Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. So that's pretty self-explanatory. The Lord requires us to give. It's something that he needs for the running of his kingdom, but he also will reciprocate it, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And it says here, "Shall men give unto your bosom?" So they could be the other people, could be the artificers, I suppose, to give that blessing of the Lord. But either way, it comes to the Lord; it will come back to us. But first, we must give. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, it's hard for us to imagine how you can lay up treasures in heaven. It's kind of this distant place still as we dwell here on earth in flesh and blood. But we know that we get a taste of it. We get a taste of it when we serve the Lord and go to meetings and help the saints in whatever they need, praying and reading. We get a taste of these riches in heaven. We get the joy of the Holy Spirit that comes from God, and we see as well that as we focus on the things of the Lord, he'll provide for other things. And we know as well that as we reap up riches here on earth, they become a bit of a burden, so we acknowledge that, we get a taste of that sort of thing, and it can be a concern as well that it may, of course, get broken or rusted and corrupted. Verse 24, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other." And then it clarifies here, you cannot serve God and mammon. So he's referring to two masters here, and one is God and the other is mammon, or the flesh, or money, or, yeah, the things of the flesh, evil things. Verse 25, "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment?" And then just skip over to verse 32. "For after all these things do the Gentiles seek." So all people, non-spirit-filled, they seek after these things, the things of what they'll eat, what they'll put on our body, and the food and so forth. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And then it confirms here, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." So basically saying, God knows we need that stuff. God knows we're flesh and blood. He created us. He created the earth. He created everything on it. And it goes on about birds and flowers and so forth. He knows what we require, but he asks us to first seek the kingdom of God, to first give unto the kingdom of God, and he'll just provide all this stuff. And I'm sure we can all look back on our walk in the Lord and see, oh, yeah, the Lord certainly covered up a few, provided for certain things that we, even though we're focusing on the Lord, the Lord in the background still provided for us. Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23. Just concluding scripture here. "And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord and not unto men." So what do we do? Heartily unto the Lord. I mean, there's preceding scriptures there. Is with us as servants, we obey our masters as unto the Lord, and we do that in our work, knowing full well that the Lord will deal with everything else. So whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you see, serve the Lord Christ. But that he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he hath done, and there is no respect of persons. So this rounds off that as you do the work of the Lord, you shall receive the reward of inheritance as we serve the Lord Christ. But then it says, contrarywise, if you do wrong, you'll receive for the wrong that you've done. So as you sow, so shall you reap. God is not mocked. He sees everything, and we're flesh and blood, we're saints, we may have a propensity to head off and think, oh, it doesn't matter, the Lord Lord can see me, but oh, whatever, I'll get away with this. But it's not true. It doesn't happen. And the Lord blesses openly. And as you sow, so shall you reap. Okay. Thank you, Pastor Tim.